On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we have more questions from Mystery Sammy. We talk about pink clothing, crystal music, shirtlessness, and skinny jeans. ZOL212 starts now.
Sunday, May 19th, 2013. I'm Jeff.
He's not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
I'm Eric.
I have an odd craving for the blood of a live Kolar beast.
And I'm Gary.
Sassy gals, get the hose.
Welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 212. And I totally forgot what I was going to have for the end. I had it all prepared and I totally forgot.
Aww. Sad face.
Nobody likes us this week. I'm going to start off with that. No likes.
That's not Facebook. True.
No additional reviews in the iTunes store.
Aww.
We didn't have anybody else join the Bear Underground group.
Aww.
And no one added Cubs Out Loud to their circles on Google Plus. I mean. Yeah, and no one emailed us. Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's okay, Jeffrey. People still like
I
us.
I heard that.
And I knew
stood. Yeah, stood up.
And I got stood up.
Oh.
Rude.
So.
Yeah.
That's also I have money.
Yay!
I didn't get paid this week. I got paid the previous week, but I still have money.
Gay gas.
So, gay gas. Make sure your fingers are going all the way back. See, I learned from that thing. So, my week was I was waiting to go see have somebody take me out to go see Iron Man last night. He never called. He never IM'd. He never showed up.
Bitch.
So all I did was I leveled my monk.
Yay.
He got to 60 at least. I started my leveling for my rogue, who was next on the list. But I didn't get to see Iron Man.
Aww. Iron Man or Star Trek?
We were going to see Iron Man because I haven't seen Iron Man. I haven't seen The Great Gatsby. There are literally three movies in the theaters right now that I really, 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 really want to see. Yet I'm broke.
Ah.
So I have a little bit of difficulty.
And
also my sonnet's very happy with me.
Oh.
Because I give her peanut butter in her Kong.
Oh. So. Yay.
Anyways, so that's my overly dramatic week.
Yay. Nice one, Eric.
Sorry.
It's okay. This week has been pretty good. You know, I've not had much going on, actually. I worked. I had chorus rehearsal. Friday was fun. We had our Scorpius, our leather group meeting, which is always interesting. We did a demo, quote unquote, on sounding. Well, we did. And just so you know, we didn't do the actual, there wasn't an actual demonstration. Because
there was no sound going into a penis.
Yeah,
no volunteers,
a real penis.
Well, it wasn't that there were no volunteers. We were at a bar, and yeah, even though the bar technically wasn't open yet, it's probably not a good idea to demonstrate something involving nudity in a public place,
especially nudity of genitals.
Yes, so.
So we, what, nobody bought a dozen bananas and then just started shoving steel rods?
No. So we just discussed it and so, you know, saw the sounds and all that stuff. It was interesting. No, I will never, ever, 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 ever participate in sounding, but it was good to know. Just, you know. And then afterwards we hung out for a while and, you know, drank a little bit and talked and all this stuff. It was fun to kind of relax after the meeting, kind of have a social time. So, but that was pretty much it. Yesterday I hung out at home and watched some TV. I cleared my DVR of Bones because I knew I wasn't going to see it and it's almost over and I needed room on my DVR for the summer. So, yeah. So Bones got cut. Kind of sad about that. Well, it's one of those things where it's now May. I have episodes from the start of the season back in September, and I've not seen a single episode. And I've not taken time to watch a single episode. So, yeah,
not exactly must see TV.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I'll either try to catch it later on or maybe I'll watch an episode, you know, if it comes on again. But right now, not so much. So, oh, well. But that was the extent of my week. I'm feeling much better. Not 100%. Well, maybe like 98% back in regards to the Bell's palsy. So, in case everyone was wondering. So, I can actually wink both my eyes and lift my eyebrows on both sides and all that stuff. It's kind of awesome.
Bet you haven't wiggled your face that much in years.
I know, right? It's always like I'm looking in the mirror and going, I can do both of those. There we go.
So Damon's out at the bar and someone's like, are you winking at me? And he's like, no, I'm just moving my face. I'm very excited.
Or he's like, yes, I'm winking at everybody.
Yes, I'm so happy. So yeah, but yeah, it's been great. So, Eric or Gary?
Okay, I'll go next. Didn't really do a lot this week, of course. Been playing Star Trek Online again in preparation for Star Trek the movie, which I did go to see yesterday.
Yay!
And I made my thoughts on the movie pretty well known on Google+. Basically, great story. I really couldn't stand the movie, though. I don't think I'm going to ever watch another J.J. Abrams movie.
Wow.
He just – I enjoy his stories, but the technique he uses to bring to them, it's like he intentionally is trying to make his audience sicker and sicker with every single movie. Like, I'm the only one of my friends – we all went to see Cloverfield together – I'm the only one who managed to come out of that without feeling seasick.
Wow.
And to get around that, he's added a new technique on top. You know, first it was shaky cam, then it was lens flares. Now it's shaky cam, lens flares, and twisty cam, where for no reason whatsoever, cameras are just randomly at 90-degree angles and then flip around. So you're always, like, falling off of things.
Ah.
So, I mean, great story, great actors, great design sets. I could barely see any of it.
Oh.
Started playing Pokemon Black and White 2 again this week, so I've added in. I'm 48 hours into that game now.
Nice.
Then catching up on Star Trek Season 3, which I got on Blu-ray a few weeks ago. And otherwise, just keeping up with my other shows, you know. It's Game of Thrones season, so I've been watching that. Yay. And lots of work.
Yay.
Nothing exciting there. So, Gary, what have you been up to?
Well, I had a whole bunch of work myself. I feel like I had a busy week. The beginning of the week, I was not very happy, though.
Uh-oh.
Well, probably Sunday night. I want to say my iPad kind of started acting funny.
Oh.
And I wasn't sure what the story was with it. And It was, I mean, I knew I was really tight on free memory. And so it was one of those like, oh, don't let this be the issue why the OS is getting sluggish and stuff like that. So, but it progressively got bad from like Sunday night until Tuesday night when I couldn't do anything. Like it just, it got in this weird mood where it was like power cycling, but it wouldn't do a full reboot. Like it would look like it did a reboot, but everything was just like it was when it stopped.
Huh.
So I was a little ticked off. So I got a hold of Apple Chat support. And it's, of course, it's out of warranty and they wanted me to pay like $19 for a phone call. And I was like, no. So I just didn't really feel like it. So I turned around and chatted with a girl by the name of Paris, and she was helpful to a certain point until my iTunes didn't want to do what it's supposed to do, apparently. So she pushed up the chain, and long story short, we did a factory reboot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was not very happy about that.
So did you lose all your... Oh, keep
well,
going. Never mind.
Anyway, well, she, I said to Paris, I said, yeah, but when I do this, what am I going to lose? And she said, well, have you saved your photos offline anywhere? Like meaning off the device. And I said, no. And she said, okay, well, do that now before we do this or else you'll lose those. And I said, okay. And then I said, what about everything else? And she said, the rest of your stuff will be fine. You know, when was your last backup to the cloud and so on and so forth. So, so we got the photo saved. And then what happens is it wipes and starts over from scratch.
Nice.
So once we finally got that to work, which there was a hiccup with that, it's like having a brand new iPad all over again.
Huh.
Except for, I mean, granted, it's not a new version, but yeah, so I've had to reinstall apps and do some different things and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So the question becomes, have you installed every app that you had before?
No.
Yeah.
Because I realized that I had a lot of bloat. I just had a lot of stuff that I wasn't using. And I thought that that was part of the problem.
Yeah. So, cause that's the same thing that happened with me and when I got my new, phone. I had a ton of apps on my other phone and I did like half of them just because it was just like, I don't really use this anymore. Why do I need it? I've used it once.
Well, and that was, you know, kind of the thing that I was frustrated with is, you know, I realized I got all this stuff and then I wasn't even using it. So, and, that's kind of it. I mean, other than that, oh, and then the big news is today, thanks to a dear friend of mine from Maryland, who's in town for the weekend, is actually leaving today. I am the new owner of a 42-inch TV.
Yay.
And then I promptly went to Best Buy and I bought an Apple TV. But it's not fully integrated yet because I stopped so we could record the podcast because I was...
You're like, okay, let's get through this quickly. I've got an Apple TV to configure.
Well, it was giving me a little bit of a hiccup. I mean, it's connected to the internet Wi-Fi in the house, but I've got to figure out how to get the iPad connected to it. And then I'm hoping everything that I want to do will work the way it's supposed to. So.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like watching Tumblr on a 42-inch TV. So,
we'll see you naked on the couch.
Yep. We'll never have pants on in the house again.
Oh, speaking of which, that reminds me of something that I want to pass this wisdom on to the world because I think it's quite hysterical. A week ago Saturday, I was at a meeting for a pride organization here in town. One of the board members reminded me in a passing comment of a saying that they have. And there are it refers to friends. And I thought it was really – it just cracks me up every time I hear it said, you are either pants on friends or pants off friends. So if you think about it, you'll figure out what that means. But when it's said aloud in a conversation of mixed company in public, it just titillates me and makes up every single time.
Nice.
You know, as in, oh, no, we're pants on friends. That's
Carl had a friend where there was this one time where somebody wasn't wearing pants and then they started having a very serious conversation. Oh. And this is a gay guy with the – it's a friendship between a gay guy and a straight guy. And it's pure friendship. And now whenever it gets to the point where there's a possibility of a serious talk, one of them will go, is this serious? And put his hands right at his button to like, as if he's about to take off his pants. Being like, if we're going to have a serious talk, we need to take our pants off here.
Nice.
So and there's a whole story behind that. Oh. It's like, Carl wasn't wearing any pants. He just started out to make it serious. And then his friend, oh my God, why can't I forget his name? But was like, oh, for God's sakes. And he just drops his pants because it's like, if you're going to be pantsless, pantsless too. It's just awkward. So
awesome.
Yeah. And then the other big thing was I too did go see Star Trek Into Darkness. Yeah. I saw it on Friday in the afternoon. I took my mama. It was part of her Mother's Day gift. I told her on Sunday that I would take her when the new movie came out. Nice. So mother and I both agree. God, that sounded so creepy, psycho-ish.
yes, Norman?
My mom and I both agreed we like this movie the best.
Oh.
Of all the movies in the entire universe, and we like it better than the one from 4 years ago. So mom appreciated because she was raised on original series or grew up watching original series, so to speak. She liked how they threw so many references in. Yeah. From the old series, like, you know, like sayings and characterisms and without being cheesy, like, you know, like hitting you over the head with like, here's another one from the vaults. I appreciated how they took twists because they took plot storyline elements that have existed previously in the universe and put them in this movie, but they flipped some stuff around. So I liked that a bunch. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still thinking about the movie now. And that to me is a caliber of a really good movie if I'm still playing out some things in my head. I did not see it in 3D, though, and mom was disappointed that I didn't get 3D tickets, but I tried to explain to her that the time of the 3D movies was a little different for us to get in there. And on top of it, she wears glasses, I wear glasses. Wearing 3D glasses over glasses sometimes is a bit of an annoyance. So... And the other thing is I already knew they did not film it in 3D, to which my mother had a conniption, which I thought was quite comical, because this woman who doesn't know really that much about Hollywood and entertainment was like, what? And I was like, yeah, they didn't film it in 3D. They modified it after they filmed it. Mom's like, well, what the hell for? She's like, they had a budget, didn't they? Like, wow. She was just not having it that like J.J. Abrams and others just didn't get on the ball and film it in 3D to begin with.
If you're gonna do it in 3D, you might as well film it in 3D.
Well, that's her concept, and I said that's why I don't like seeing movies much in 3D unless I know it was actually filmed that way, because one, I think the quality is not as good, and two, I think they drop the ball. Like, they'll put certain scenes in 3D, but other scenes won't be.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I didn't recall seeing that much from this film that would have blown me away.
Yeah, the reviews I've seen for the 3D say to kind of avoid it. The main thing it does is make the lens flares pop out quite a bit, which actually caused eye strain for some of the people watching who reviewed.
Ouch.
Hmm.
Interesting.
There's definitely a I don't think this is really giving anything away. There's – Eric had made reference to the tilt camera kind of stuff. There was definitely a couple points of that I didn't get disoriented. I thought, oh, that's cool, because he took advantage of the fact that we live in an upright world, that we're bipedal species and we think of things in a certain aspect. And to me, flipping the camera 90 degrees or 180 degrees, like in a different direction, I think it helps paint a different perspective, that it's not all like the world is flat, even though the world is not flat. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm trying to say, but
I get what you mean.
So I kind of liked it in that aspect. So I might even go back and see it again. I have yet to figure that out.
Cool. I'm going to try to see it. We have a Movie Bears group in town that actually saw it yesterday, and I wanted to go, but Jim had to work and I don't drive, and I didn't think about it until after the fact, so I didn't try to make arrangements to get there, and I said fuck it. So another time.
Well, you're gonna have to watch those movie bear announcements now.
Yes,
plan ahead.
I will plan ahead. I will plan accordingly, as it were.
Yeah, so to anybody out there, I say go see it. Because to me, I haven't seen a lot of movies. My mom and I just talked about this. I don't go to the movies often because I'm pissy about how much it costs to see a movie. And then, like, for example, after we went to the movies, we went to Walmart. Mom needed to buy some things. So we're shopping in the store. We're in the audio, video, electronics section. And sure enough, there's a movie that I had an interest in seeing, Guilt Trip, with Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand. Mom, I knew, wanted to see it as well because, you know, mother-son movie, mother-son scene. She probably would have thought that was cute. I'm looking at it and I'm pointing to her, and this is what I was flipping out about. I said, look, $14.99 to own the freaking DVD, it would have cost me $5.75 a piece for the two of us to get in to see the movie on an earlier matinee. And I usually buy her popcorn and a drink. I'm like, I could own the damn thing for a lifetime, or I could just see it once. Where's the sense in that money? So I don't think mom liked me saying that, but anyway. Yeah. That's my rant about movies and paying all that money.
Gary's bitch of the week.
Well, I just, it irritates me. But I will say this, you know, you all laugh at me. I will say this, some movies I think are worth it on the screen, because when you don't see them on the big screen, I think you lose some of the magic of seeing it on the screen. So when you only see it, I don't care if you have like a 6 foot wide television, it just, it's not the same. So that's kind of my take on that. I'm going to shut up now. We'll move on with the show.
Nice. Alrighty. Yeah. And that's one of the things I like about, well, the Alamo Draft House, for some reason, just provides a mystique of an amazing movie experience, especially considering that if you're talking during the movie, they will kick you out without a refund. They will kick you out. Not one of those things where they say, turn off your cell phone. It's a light. And maybe somebody might be around to notice that you're talking and being annoying during a movie. And maybe you'll get kicked out. Like, yeah, never.
I should mention that did not help yesterday. The fact that behind me, somebody talked through the whole movie. Now, it turned out, I realized about 45 minutes in, before I climbed over my thing to just beat the trash out of them, that they were mentally disabled and they were asking questions of their caretaker.
Oh.
They started asking, what is radiation? Why is radiation bad? But it doesn't help an experience when that happens. You're correct.
And notably, where I saw it, it was at a Cinemark location here in town. There were two things. I had to explain to mom about the app that Cinemark came out with, that when you turn it on, it shuts down your phone from texting and messages. Like, you can't really do anything with it during the course of the movie. And if you leave the app on all the way till the movie's concluded, then they reward you with like a coupon for free popcorn or some shit. And mom was like, oh, I said, yeah. I said, we had to create technology to deal with behavioral issues because people just can't fucking shut their phone off. So then afterwards, right before the movie began, they put up this big splash about being quiet. And if you are annoying others with a phone call, they will come in and they will escort you out with no refund, which I thought was very interesting. So
and the nice thing about the Alamo Draft House is there's always waiters walking around. So they'll notice somebody flagged that the table near them was being loud, and they'll go get a manager, and the manager will give them a warning. And you get a second one, kicked out of there. No using the cell phones at all. So, nice. I mean, it's very, very strict. And that Cinemark thing, I'd like to know how many times they've actually done that versus, like, how many times. Actually, right now, the Alamo Draft House probably doesn't do it very often because most people understand draft talks.
I'm assuming by now.
So everybody just pays attention to it. And it just makes, I mean, despite the fact that I'm having a very, very delicious pizza while I'm watching the movie and some good beer that's delivered directly to me. I didn't have to get at a concession stand or something. It's just an amazing experience. And so if you get an Alamo Draft House, and they're spreading like wildfire.
I've heard.
So if you go to drafthouse.com, you can see if there's one near you. I'm not sure if there really is one near you guys, but I think the closest one might be Washington or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, so, it's amazing. And I'm sure there's other dining dinner and movie establishment sort of things which do a similar thing, but not with the way that the Alamo does it. It's just the Alamo just has a certain thing. It's very Austin-y. Anyways, moving on. So it's that time again.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mystery Sammy questions. first thing I can do. Oh no, that's that I do have on hand. Okay, but and we're not saying these questions are losing horn worthy. But let's sort of run through the 8 Mystery Siamese questions of the episode.
All righty.
This just goes to show that we don't rehearse.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah. No, this is all right off the bat.
We are live, gentlemen. We are
this
live.
This is live.
You are live. We do not edit. Should make sense. That causes that I should just edit out here or something like that. And we're back. Anyways. So question one, number one, why do most people, especially gays, say 30 is when life just started? I thought that's when you could stop. That's the age where younger people will stop trusting you.
Wow.
And I didn't know this is the time life just started. His little comment on it is because now you are completely free from your parents, or it's when you feel open to be whatever you want and fuck whatever people think. I left my parents when I was about 21. You know, actually, probably when I was 18, when I went to college, you know, I was pretty free from my parents. I don't know what you're thinking of. Different family traditions and different cultures, I suppose.
I went away to college, you know, so technically 18, you know, 19 when I left the parents, as it were. But I understand what he's saying, the whole 30. And that's because you're no longer like a teenager. You're no longer in your 20s, meaning you're still kind of figuring things out.
Established.
Yeah, you're established when you're 30, or you should be. Let me rephrase. You should be established when you're 30. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it happens. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But that's kind of the norm, is that you hit 30 and you're like, oh, you know, you've got a job. You should have a job. You should have some kind of living situation, either on your own or with a husband, wife, or partner, or maybe you're dating someone. You know, you're no longer in school. Well, most people aren't. You're learning through life and not through like going to school or doing that together. So that's where I usually take that as. Is that 30 is when you've, I don't want to say settled, but yeah, established is a good word.
I think we are all liberals and we love abortion. And as we know, life doesn't begin at conception. Life begins at 30. So we can execute people under the age of 30.
Wow.
Okay, just for the record, any views expressed on COL by a certain host are not necessarily those views of the other hosts.
Disclaimer.
Okay, yeah, really.
Disclaimer, yes.
No, seriously.
No, it's more like disclaim him.
But it's just a saying, dude. That's all I can say. My parents got married when they were 18 and 16. They would say that life began then. Things change. People change, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
I think 30 was a good point for me, and I think it is for a lot of people because, like Damon said, there's a lot of shit you're going through, and particularly in Western civilization right now, our adolescence is being protracted quite a bit. The parent generations are having a hard time letting go of their kids and are afraid. And at the same time, the economy is not great. So the kids aren't exactly, you know, clamoring to get out of the nest.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Nobody wants to go out and be homeless. So,
yeah, that's kind of why I said, you know, usually. Because, I'm sure there are plenty of 30-plus-year-olds that might still be home and whatnot and you know, still kind of figuring things out. I hope. And I hope they, you know, they are working towards establishing themselves.
Yeah. And I will say, too, your problems once you become 30 and older tend to be a lot different than the problems you have when you're younger than that. So a lot of people kind of feel like, I don't know. I'm 37 now and I have a hard time relating to some of the problems of 20-somethings.
Oh.
And I think as you get older, it's something that just becomes harder and harder to deal with. It's like, how can you feel so settled on this, you know, relationship trouble? Just dump him, you know? You're 19 fucking years old. Why the fuck do you want to spend your life with this person who does nothing but annoy the fuck out of you?
Amen.
Just because he stuck his dick in you once doesn't mean, you know, you're committed for life. Anyway, these are the sorts of attitudes that when I was a teenager, I would have been all swept up in all that drama too, but...
Yeah.
Your priorities shift.
Sorry, I'm having some fun flashbacks of,
and for some reason I think, like, stereotypically speaking, I think for the especially gays part of this, I would think that no, you're not understanding. It says at 30 is when life ends.
Yes. Wow, wow. For more information, see the United States version of a television show called Queer as Folk.
Exactly. Gary?
So, yeah.
Why do most people, especially gay, say 30 is when life just... I don't know. Hang on.
Does not compute...
My camera. Hmm.
Holding.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard the saying, but I don't know if I would agree with it. I don't know why most people... The question says, why most people, especially gays, say 30 is when life just started. To me, it's not. I think you figure out in your own life path when life starts. I didn't have an epiphany at 30. I had a breakdown at 20, but that was a different story. and I was already out. So that's another issue. I don't know why people necessarily think that life starts at 30. I mean, I would agree with Eric's one comment about, you know, your life problems are different at age 30. What I want to say is I hope that they're different. If you're still reliving the same experiences and having the same situations year after year, time after time, then that says that you're like – you're participating, that you're choosing yourself, whether you believe it or not. Because, you know, the problems I had when I was 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 are not the problems I have today. And I mean, there's some that may carry over, but they're bigger issues than the day to day or the week to week or even year to year stuff.
I understand that.
But, yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I think you just do the best you can with what it is that you have, and you go from there. And if there's anything, I've always been in awe of people who are accelerated, that have their life together, quote unquote, more than the norm. Like at, you know, 17 are starting college classes, at 20 are living on their own, at, you know, 27 or 28 have their master's working on their PhD. You know what I mean? Like they're just, yeah, they're ahead of the pack. And there's a part of me that has found that to be awe-inspiring. And even though I don't like the emotion, I get jealous because I think, you know, it appears in my mind to be nice to be at that point already, so to speak.
I understand what you mean.
Yeah. Alrighty. Next question.
How long did it take for you to figure out how to come the first time ever?
Wow. Interesting shift.
You know, I don't think I was trying to figure out how to. I was like, hey, this feels good. And it just got more intense and intense and like, oh.
Spurt. Yeah, I kind of feel like this is kind of a retake on the old, how long did it take you to be potty trained? Because this is kind of a natural thing for most people.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would agree with that.
Huh. Well, I know a lot of women complain that they need extra help in learning their own bodies and the rest of that. Guys generally tend to dig around into it. I mean, I was getting in trouble for masturbating when I was 3. I know a lot of kids. We have a terrible story. We gave Chester's brother's family an Xbox. That was Chester correcting me, saying it was a GameCube with a vibrating controller back when his nephew was 4. And his nephew really liked losing at games because it vibrated a lot in his lap. And they got to have a Birds and Bees conversation at that point.
Oh, wow.
He's pointing out to his little 2-year-old sister, look, my bird is stuck. My bird is stuck. Bird being what they call their penis.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
And I think for most people, it's something perfectly innocent, perfectly natural like that. And kids start playing around early. And when the body's ready, it starts shooting out. And, you know, what was fun before gets better with time.
And messier.
If I'm reading into reading into, meaning, like, basically, when did you start masturbating? let me just put it like that. I started masturbating in middle school. Granted, I did a lot of stuff in middle school for the first time, but that's the only thing that I can relate to the question, because, you know, I grew up with 2 other brothers, and you know, there was porn in the house when I was like 5 or 6. I knew what it was. I knew what, you know, so I kind of knew what was going on before, like, you hit like the puberty adolescence where things start working, you know, fully. But I didn't actually masturbate until middle school, you know, and then learned the different ways to kind of pleasure myself, as it was. But that's if I'm reading into the question correctly. We need more information.
I'm actually So have we heard from everybody yet? I actually want to read the original version of the question.
Oh my!
And maybe it will change answers. All right, let me actually just read now. The original version, because I've been doing some translating. How many minutes takes you to figure out how to come the first time ever? So it actually says minutes.
Huh.
So the first time he came, how long did it take you to come?
Wow.
You mean like in sex, then?
No. I don't know.
Because, you know, it took me a long time before I found a partner. So do you count from the time that you started trying to have sex? It was probably a good 2 years before I found somebody to actually have sex with. That's a lot of minutes.
Wait, what? Go back. What is the original?
How many minutes did it take you to come the first time?
How many minutes takes you to figure out how to come the first time ever?
Okay. I think what he's saying is, if you can recall the first time you ever came, ejaculated.
Oh, hell no.
And you were trying, do you recall how long it took you to get off the very first time?
Yeah. Okay. That's an unreasonable question. Who remembers what they had for lunch last week?
I don't remember the exact amount of time, but I remember that it did take a long time for me for the first time I ejaculated.
When you actually were consciously
doing it. I'm pretty sure it was an accident.
I'm pretty sure it was, I know this for certain. I've never had a wet dream in my lifetime. Although some people say that's an indication of something else. Anyways, I mean, even when I was younger, I didn't. So I remember deciding it one day in the summer to just play around and knowing what was supposed to happen, but it hadn't happened yet, and it did take quite a long time. Hmm. But notably, I remember at one point later in my life, many, many years, thinking to myself, is this what life is about, the pursuit of re-achieving the ultimate orgasm, which is technically your first orgasm because you've never had one before.
Huh.
So.
Yeah.
That's a depressing thought.
Life is all about achieving the first orgasm.
Yeah, wow. For reference, see last week's episode.
Is that why people have kinks? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Maybe this is why we put on puppy costumes and then put ourselves in slings and grab sounds.
Well, notably, I think people are trying to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're trying to achieve something that they haven't before.
So you're saying life is just all about sex?
No, life is about happiness. How we take the journey to the happiness is different. To tie in something that I saw on Facebook, which cracked me up to no end, one of the bartenders at the local bar here posted a picture with a saying on it, and it says, "It's not really an addiction until you suck dick for it."
And does that mean sucky dick is automatically an addiction?
Well, and of course, someone commented and said, "What if that is your addiction?"
Nice.
That jerk would have been me, ladies and gentlemen.
So, I mean, because I thought it was really kind of funny, because I think what it's meant to mean, maybe in the straight community, is it's not really an addiction unless you're willing to blow somebody to get what you want. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't work in the gay community, because we'll pretty much suck dick for any reason. It doesn't have to be an addiction.
We'll suck dick because it's Monday.
Yeah. Or in the female community.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've killed that question.
Okay. Died. Anyways, because you are gay, do you wear pink more often than straight guys?
No.
I don't even think I have pink.
That was a fast one.
I don't think I own any either.
I
don't think I look good in pink.
I will say this. Pink has become, just fashion for the fashion conscious individuals, pink has become a popular color for men, not, you know, in general.
Correct.
Because of that, and it's not the metrosexual movement. It's just, it's becoming a little bit more, you know, it's not a gay color. Pink is not a gay color or a girl color. It's just, it's becoming this very mainstream kind of color to wear. So you're seeing it more often. Me personally, I don't like the contrast with my skin tone. I've been told it looks good on me, but personally, I don't like it. But it is becoming popular. You'll see pink ties. You'll see pink in like a dark colored shirt, like a pinstripe or something like that. So it's getting out there, which is good, you know. But it's not a gay color, or it doesn't say that you're gay. I have a good friend, Andrew, who's an otter, even though he's not gay, who has a really nice pink shirt that he wears often that looks really good on him. So not a gay color. So I don't wear it because I wouldn't wear it because I'm gay, or I don't see it more often because it's a gay color.
In other words,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
in my office, so many straight men wear pink shirts all the time because they do all these 5Ks and sport things for the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So they've got a ton of pink shirts from that, and they wear them all the time. It's just a color.
Yeah. Okay. Nip that question in the bud.
Number four, if you like them, do you still listen to Christian music artists even though you're gay? All right. Who's in their lifetime liked Christian music?
I have.
Like DC Talk and Rebecca St. James and those type people.
Yeah. Even when I was a Christian, I didn't like Christian music.
So see, I grew up, you know, in gospel music and Christian music because I was raised in a church, you know, and I do listen to it from time to time, and I still do listen to it from time to time. I guess
that I would like
question.
I would like to enter that caveat there. Gospel music and choirs and things like that, I'm not considering Christian music for the point of this. I'm considering this the made-up soundtrack, CD selling, you know, DC Talks and Amy Grants and all of those people.
Who are
basically Christian pop stars. That's what I'm considering.
That's what I was thinking of too.
I enjoyed choirs when I was in church. I enjoyed gospel music when we would see gospel singers. You know, I'm a little bit white to be a gospel singer, and I can't sing, so that also doesn't help. But I enjoyed that music at the time, but yeah. I don't think that's what he's talking about here.
Oh, well. If he's talking like the pop Christian stuff, I got into it in high school.
Dude, I saw Rebecca St. James live in concert. It was awesome, man.
Oh, what was that terrible? Evanescence. They're a Christian band. Who likes Evanescence?
Well, they were one before they got popular.
Yeah, and they changed their mind. But I didn't. I like, if you want to go that route with the like the poppy Christian bubblegummy stuff, then I'm like you. I never really liked it. I listened to it, but I never really liked it. But yeah, like my gospel music, I still get into. I mean, I don't listen to it as much, but I definitely still enjoy it from time to time, especially around like Christmas. Go figure. But no,
I'm going to say yes. I mean, I don't listen to him very often, but I have, looks like I have 3 discs of DC Talk. I have a couple of Rebecca St. James CDs. Those are my 2 favorites. But I don't listen to it too often, but a lot of the time when I'm just sitting here, or I'm at work and it's just, I'm like, ta-da!
Time is ticking away. Tick, tick, ticking away. And that's from a DC Talk song. So, yeah, I'm going to say yes. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I'm gay. I just like the music.
It's just you like the music, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Gary?
I never really listened to Christian music artists, so I have a no.
Okay.
I was vaguely familiar with them, but they creep me out.
Yeah.
And I don't say that lightly. I mean, seeing commercials and like television broadcasts, like flipping channels and stuff, I was very bothered by the evangelical, like, kind of, you know, just masses of people going nutsy for something. And here's the thing. I realize it's hypocritical because you could see Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, you know, The Who, any major band that's been around for many decades, fill an arena and see the same response from the crowd. But that music isn't meant to represent an ideology or a philosophy of existence per se.
Hmm.
So to me, that's on a different level. And I say that right off the bat because I realize some people might think that I'm focusing on the behavior, and it's not, it is the behavior, but it's what the behavior is indicative of or tied to. And being a person who struggled with spirituality for a good portion of the beginning of my life and knowing that I'm gay and knowing what life is about and accepting it and all that stuff, I just was not a fan of the concept. Because to me, I was like, great. So there's, you know, this whole mainstream side parallel grouping something something, one that I couldn't necessarily relate to, and I was more worried that I just wouldn't be accepted into it. So I think that's why I kind of just didn't get into it. I went the other direction. I was a Skid Row fan.
Nice.
And so I went hard rock, so to speak.
Well, I mean, if you'd listen to some of the DC Talk and Rebecca St. James music, you'd it's actually pretty rocky. So it's just a verbiage, you could say. Anyways, with that, moving on to question number 5. What makes you like a guy the most? Face and appearance or personality? Which means you don't care if he's ugly.
Wow.
Well, did he actually
say that?
He actually typed personality, not in quotes. So he means actually their personality, not their quote personality quote. Damon, since you've been starting.
Shit. God damn it. I hate this question. Okay. I will say that off the bat. This is the one of those questions that no matter how you answer, you're going to come sometimes sound like a dick in some way, shape, or form. Mm. What makes you like a guy the most? Face and appearance or personality? Okay, I'm going to go to pageant queen answer and go, ooh. I know, shut up. And just, it is honestly a matter of both. I don't really, you can look at a face and be like, oh, that's really nice. And then find out their personality and like them even more. Or the opposite, you can look at the face and the appearance, you'd be like, oh, that's nice. And then their personality and shit and go, oh, fuck you. And then flip it and you get the same thing. You know, you can get a nice personality and, you know, you might have an ugly person and you may or may not like them. It's just the way it is. I think I tend to lean more towards personality, but if it's purely physical, then it's going to be appearance. So I don't know if that made any sense, but there you go.
Well, if it's purely physical, that's the only thing you can really judge on anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to agree with that. I mean, it's pretty much, yeah, he could be hot as hell, but he'd be a complete douche. Or someone who's not so good looking, you know, not the hottest guy in all the world, but he's got an awesome personality. If I think he looks very ugly, it's going to be a completely turn off for me. So I suppose it's the face and appearance is a factor, but not as much as the personality. If that makes any sense.
It does. It
makes perfect sense.
So that's my thought. I think if I had to choose one or the other, it would probably be personality.
What I would do. Yeah, we've covered at length. I don't really have a type, so I don't have a set thing I go for. So that's kind of a redundant thing in my life. So personality.
I regret we're at the point where I think the question might need clarification, because I don't know if he means what you like about a guy in general or what attracts you to a guy.
Yeah, good point.
Because to me, there's two different things. If it's what makes me like a guy in general terms, it could be his personality, because I have lots of male friends that I like their personalities. I'm indifferent in some cases to their looks because we're just friends. There's not an interest in, you know, going further. We're not pants on friends. So see, I'm so proud of myself. I used it. But if it's about attraction, then I hate to say it, and I've said it before on the record, it's about appearance. It's the first thing that I get to know them by. It's how apps were created. How many times do you see people say things like, no pick, no talk, blah, 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 whatever. And it's like, because they want to know what you look like. They don't care about your personality.
There's also that slight chance you may be a serial killer.
I guess.
It's not safe to meet people without a picture, even if you're not all that interested in their appearance.
Truth.
It's like, what the hell are you hiding? Are you a senator or a serial killer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Both could be kind of hot. Depends.
So funny.
I wouldn't like the aftermath of the serial killer, though.
Oh, no. I meant if they were both, if it was a senator that was a serial killer.
Oh, okay. That makes all the difference. Okay, so wait a minute. So you like Kevin Spacey?
Womp womp.
Frank Underwood from House of Cards?
I think Kevin Spacey is an enigma. Or an anomaly. Those aren't
equal. Maybe he's an enigma. Is he an enigma wrapped in an allegory?
I don't know. I don't fancy him as a man. Okay. But I think he's a really good actor, and I think if we were to run into each other in a bathhouse, I would not be inclined to want to get on my knees. I'd be inclined to say, hey, you want to go sit in the lounge and have a talk over a cup of coffee or something? So, because to me, that would be, I can't pass up this opportunity. Like, I realize he's here for dick probably, but I am not going to let him walk away and not talk about things.
That is so kind of funny.
I'd be like, bitch, sit down. I want to talk about American Beauty right now. Anyways.
The Usual Suspects. That was amazing.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with what Sammy's looking for. So my answer is, if it's what attracts me to a man, it's first appearance, then personality. Yes, I realize that's vain. And if it's just what I like about a person, then it's their personality, whether it be a guy or girl for that matter.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with all that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, who's giving the pageant answers?
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on.
Next question.
Why? Let's see. Why do gays see having sex with a lot of guys normal, even though married and straight guys are more loyal to their girlfriends or wife? My answer is. Wait. My answer is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. What crack are you smoking?
All right, David. Because I'm thinking all four of us are going to be in agreement on this. Go ahead.
No. Go. You go right on ahead.
Let me go first.
Okay.
When I read this question, the first thing I did was think, oh, you stupid deleted motherfucker. The second thing I did was go and look up some infidelity statistics.
You ignorant slut.
Here we go. 41% of marriages include admitted infidelity. This is marriages. Relationships between straight men and women where infidelity occurs is 57%. 54% of women admit to having been infidelitous or committed adultery. 22% of men admit that they've committed adultery. When it comes down to it, the average length of an affair between straight couples is 2 years. 17% of men and women admit that they've fucked their brother or sister-in-laws.
Wow.
The short thing, and 3% of children who are born in American families are the result of infidelity. Wow. So if you think that straight people are not just as down to go, what is it that Dan Savage says? GGG, you are just deluding yourself. And just remember, I believe it's something around 80 to 85% of Americans consider themselves Christians. So I know that's a big thing for you. Most of the people who are doing this are in your church right now, fucking somebody else.
Basically, yeah, I think it's more of, it's probably more out there, not as sneaky or discreet or hidden, that we fuck around. You know, we know more about that. You know, we see it happening all the time. Well, yeah,
we're just not as hypocritical about it. We know that it happens because we know guys are guys, and
we're horny bastards. We're gonna be fucking whatever we can. I mean, come on. And that's true for both gays and straights, and even men and women. So, yeah, So, more of we disagree with you. I actually think it's more of. I think it's more of visibility.
Yeah.
Is really the answer to your question. Yeah. Is because of the whole Mary straight tradition, they sneak around a lot. Us gay guys, well, since we can't marry except in 12 states, by the way.
Yay.
Thank you, Minnesota. My home state of Minnesota. But in any case. But even when the gays are married, they're probably just going to continue being playing around, but
they are, you
know, because they're guys.
I just
they're guys and they want to have sex with guys.
I hate this. Is another question I hate, not because of it's not normal. And I hate using that word. That's my biggest issue with the question is the word normal. As Eric very pointedly stated, you know, it happens on both spectrums. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn on Lifetime and see a movie about this woman who got cheated on. You can watch Oxygen and watch Snapped and hear all about it. 'Cause good God, It happens, and it happens more often than people see, because the idea of, you know, wanting to be married or loyal to girlfriend, or as you say here, makes it a little bit more taboo. Like, yes, I'm married to my wife, but, you know, because of this, I shouldn't do this. So I'm going to be extremely quote unquote sneaky about it or underhanded about it to do it. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but God, we all know it does. Whereas, like we've been saying with gay men, we don't really need to be as sneaky or underhanded, depending on the level established in your relationship.
And don't get me wrong. Like, gay guys there are plenty who are completely monogamous.
Yeah,
they fuck around. They just don't, and are the same level as the stereotypical married man. You know, all faithful to their boyfriends. You know, and or girlfriends, if in the case of lesbians. So, I think it's just more about visibility is really what it is. It's not that one is more than the other.
Yeah. So, Gary.
Well. What I was going to say to start off with is, I think it is. I think it's unfortunate that one would feel or perceive that gay guys have a lot more sex than, say, married or straight guys do And then on top of it, you add the whole that they're loyal to their girlfriend or their wife or whatever. I agree with Eric's, you know, point of I think that, well, OK, I agree with the concept or the statement of men are men, period, which means men are hormonal, period. On top of that, I think in the gay community, we are far more accepting of sexual practices in a broad spectrum because we label them, we name them, we talk about them. I just had this conversation yesterday at a garage sale of all places where a straight woman – well, where a straight woman was talking about rimming. And I said to her – hand to whatever you believe in. I said to her, I said, I'm surprised to hear you say that. And she looked at me funny and she said, why? I said, well, I would be willing to say that straight people are not familiar with the concept of rimming. And she kind of looked at me funny and she said, no. And I said, let me finish. I said, I think they know what the behavior is. They don't know what the terminology is. I said, I think they understand that there's a lot of fun to be had and some things that go in that arena. I said, but they don't know that there's words for it. To which she conceded and she said, okay, you have a point. Like if I was to walk up to any woman on the street and I said, do you know what rimming is? They may not necessarily know what rimming is. So I think that the gay community, you know, is far more educational and self-aware and that kind of a thing. So why I'm looking at the question, why gays are seen having sex with a lot of guys as normal, even though married and straight guys are more loyal. I think that that's misrepresentation. I think that's what we are sold. I think Eric's accurate to bring up studies and figures and that kind of a thing, being that I'm a fact, you know, kind of a person.
And this is not a new fact. This is something that you can go back to when the first sex studies came out from Kinsey. They talked about this. Relationships have two, particularly in America where we are so puritanical about sex, they really have two sides. They have the public facade you put out to everybody to make it okay in society. And then you have the actual relationship between two actual human beings, what they've agreed to, what they've come to terms with, what they are comfortable with. And that's always very private. And you may not hear about it so much in straight society. Mm-hmm. In gay society, you do, because we're so much smaller. We're so enclosed. We like to protect each other. You know, we talk between each other about sex because it's both what unites us and what sets us apart from other people. Mm. So we are more educated about it within ourselves, because, you know, it's what we may be killed for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as likely these days, but certainly when I was a kid growing up in the 80s, people were being killed on a regular basis for being gay. And mm-hmm. so it's very much something that we educated ourselves on growing up. When you found a gay person, God, did you talk about sex? Because that's how you learned about sex.
Yeah. So very true.
And even if you didn't like that person, even if you didn't think they were very attractive, you probably fucked with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I like that. That's a good way to think about it. Very good way.
Yeah.
Next question.
Alrighty.
When you go to a public restroom and use the urinal, do you care if your dick is visible to the guy next to you, or do you like privacy? This applies only to those restrooms where there are no dividers between the urinals.
Good
so clarification. Maybe like when those trough, either one of those trough things, or you, there's just no dividers. It's just
okay
along the wall and nothing between.
Okay. Alrighty.
Right, so the question here is do you get up really close to the urinal so that nobody can see your penis? Or do you just, like
stand back and let it fly?
So, God. This is going to sound, well, not sound awful. Okay, if I am at work, okay,
mm-hmm.
if I'm at work, I go to the urinal. If there is no one in the restroom, I don't really care. Because usually by the time someone else is coming into the restroom, I'm either going to be done or you know, kind of figure. However, I have on occasion when someone has come in while I'm still in the process, I step up. Do I care? Not particularly. It's just that it's more out of professional courtesy. I don't really want to see, well, I usually don't want to see the other person, you know, and I'm sure they don't want to see me. It's not a gay or straight thing. It's just courtesy. It's just, you know, I'm at work. I don't really need to see penis, you know, while I'm at work, per se. Public restroom, like at a mall or rest area or whatnot. I do stand a little bit closer just because it's a public space. Now, switch that to, hey, I'm at a gay bar. I don't really care. You know, it's a little, you know, mini peep show. Especially with the ones with the troughs. If you're not going to, you're going to see it. Because if you're, I look down, I don't look straight ahead. I don't know if anyone else does or not, but I look down because I like to make sure that the urine is going where it needs to go. Because I hate cleaning up messes, even if I'm at a public restroom. I don't want to have someone else cleaning up my piss. So I look down. So if my eyes wander, they happen to wander. It's just the nature of the thing. That is my answer to that question. I usually don't care, but I like to be courteous to people. If I were at if I were at a gay bar, I don't care. Free for all, who cares?
Thanks, David. That was very informational.
I have silenced the whole freaking group.
This is something that I might have thought about when I was 13 or 14 years old. I just don't care anymore. I'm there to piss and get out. Who cares?
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you, you're not going to be sucking the dick of the person next to you. Almost. So really, what does it matter?
Well, it's kind of a peep show thing. I mean, it's more about looking at it, not actually necessarily doing anything. Although, yeah. Frequently times where people do things in there. But I have to say, I'm more of the courtesy. We're in here to pee, not to have sex. If I get a shot, then great, fine. But we're probably not going to do anything, and I'm just going to move on. And I'm not purposely looking at anybody else, and no one's purposely looking at me. Well, actually, I can't really say that for sure, but don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind taking a peek. My eyes wander. I do have to say that. I do look down as well. But they don't necessarily look straight down.
Yeah.
But, so I still kind of prefer the whole privacy thing.
Yeah.
Just to be like, so like somebody comes in and there's no dividers, I'm going to get up close to the urinal. But, and I think that's actually kind of more on the, for the other person's part. I mean, I would love to see your dick, and if you want to see mine, sure, but you probably don't because the likelihood's pretty slim. So we'll just stand here, we'll pee, we'll leave, we're done.
Yeah. Gary.
I tend to be private. I will own this. If you're looking, you're gonna have to look. You're gonna have to make it obvious. Oh, so oh. I'm not one that, you know, shows off to the world and all that kind of stuff. Although I have to say, I don't mind that if that happens in a bathroom, because I'm like, well, aren't we just full of ourselves? And then my feeling on it is you better have something to back it up. So, you know, those guys that come in and stand back at least a good 6 to 8 inches, hands on hips, just, You know what? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
It's like the Superman Bravado or whatever. Yeah, and I'm like, really? Because then, right, I agree, Eric. And it's like, all right, then you better have a super dick because there is no reason to like posture when you're taking this. Yeah, so if there were no dividers, I kind of stay close and, you know, mind my own business. I have to agree with the whole I'm not there to cruise. Although I thought it was interesting that Damon brings up about being in a gay bar. I think your environment really does kind of dictate things. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to plenty of bathrooms in my lifetime, as it were. And it just it really just depends. Like, have I been cruising in a bathroom? Yes. have I acted on that cruising? Yes. But it always depends on where I am and what I'm doing. If I'm just in there to pee, which 9 times out of 10 I'm in there to pee, I just like Eric said, I just want to pee and go. There's no need to waste any time looking around, seeing if the guy next to me is looking at me or I look at him or see the penis. No, I just want to get the pee out of me so I can get back to the rest what I was doing beforehand. All right.
Moving on. Last but not least, actually second to last, but we'll get to that in a second. Why do you guys like to be shirtless or naked so much?
It saves on the cleaning. Next.
I hate to say that. It's probably quite right. Although, I do have to
I'm doing laundry right now, so I know that.
So, what all the listeners do not know is Eric is completely buck-ass naked right now.
No, I'm wearing my torn-ass gym shorts that have the big hole in the crotch because it's laundry day. Anyway. And you can't see me. You don't know.
God. I can't spontaneously come up with some ridiculous outfit that I'm not actually wearing. So
me either, sadly.
So I will jump in on this one. I disagree on the thought that gays like to be shirtless or naked so much. I think that's what we're sold visually. I think that that's what media represents. I think that's what I think it's what's represented, period. Men should be shirtless and have a six pack abs and blah 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 blah. Whether they be straight pack
abs, they should have a keg.
Well, I meant what media sells us. So
good point.
I kind of disagree with the why do gays like to be shirtless or naked so much. I think you could say that there is a larger acceptance or perhaps propensity within the gay community for us to be naked or to be shirtless because we're more accepting of our bodies. Not necessarily universally, but I mean, I worked at a clothing optional campground that was men only. So I became very familiar with what the male physique looks like in all its forms because it was just constantly around. And you just kind of took it for granted and didn't think twice about it. Just like, I mean, I had to realign myself a little bit when I came to not working there anymore because, you know, taking a piss in the yard was nothing. You just whip it out and you take pee in the grass or whatever. But you can't do that in public per se. So, you know, because there's this whole moral construct thing, whatever. Yeah. So, when I lived with my previous roommate, Jeff, for a long time, there were times I'd come back from Pittsburgh in the middle of the night. I mean, it'd be like 3-4 o'clock in the morning and I'd have to pee really bad and I wouldn't even bother to wait to get inside the house. It was dark enough. There weren't really any lights. I didn't think anybody would see me from the sidewalks or whatever. So I pissed in the air and I didn't care. But it's a comfortability kind of thing. So I would have to say that if it appears that there are gay men who are more comfortable with being shirtless or without clothes, it's because they're probably more accepting of themselves. That said, I think the bear community is a bit of a hypocrite or a conflux because I know a lot of gay men that are bears, cubs, chubs, and in between
that are not comfortable with their body image and therefore don't really take their clothes off and or their shirts.
Or the opposite.
I've gone to a lot of pool parties, even the event that I put on, going to the water park. There are some guys that go with a t-shirt on because they're not that comfortable with themselves, despite the fact that they are surrounded by a couple hundred guys of equal, lesser, or bigger size. They're still not comfortable. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I'm mixed on that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Gary that there's the whole media representation, effect, especially of the like muscles and beer guys that, are not bigger guys, but muscles and thinner guys and twinks and whatnot that are shirtless and whatnot. It is a respect or proudness of your body. I've seen that the whole, especially like at pool parties and whatnot, there are still guys, even like bathhouses and things like that, where usually people are walking around in just towels. There are still guys that wear shirts, wear tank tops, wear, something to cover themselves up. And a part of it could be like the body image issues because of the media, that there are so many. You have to be hairless and have the six pack or have a flat stomach or have this broad ass chest in order to be shirtless. I honestly had to get over that personally. For a long time, I hated taking my shirt off in public, like a pool or bear runs or bear events or whatnot. Just because it's like you said, it's a body image issue. I'm a big guy with, moobs and whatnot. So, over time, though, especially being around other guys like me, smaller, bigger than me, who just didn't care, I stopped caring. And it's freeing, as it were, in that, hey, you can see me. I don't care what you have to say or think about my body. I like my body for what it is. Love it, hate it, whatever. I don't care. Fuck you.
And that's it. That's a real fine point, Ellie. I think the reason is more of, do you attract other men?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think most of the whole naked and shirtless thing, it's usually at some sort of event where they're trying to attract other men.
Maybe.
What?
I mean, it's just like a woman, with the cut skirt or something where they kind of put their leg out to it's way of attracting sexual partners.
I can see that.
So I think we got that taken care of. One last question. We're not just asking the panel here, but also asking you guys. So it's time for Sewell Poll of the Week.
Yay.
This week's poll: does wearing skinny jeans make you feel more gay? our answers, and of course, feel free to fill in your own. But is either yes, I am a twink and not a bear, and I am loving my skinny jeans. There's yes, I'm a hairy woman and I'm loving my skinny jeans. It's the Liz Bears, I think, somehow fit in there. I don't know. Maybe I'm a guy with chest hair and painted on jeans, and I've painted on jeans before. No, skinny jeans and bears are like the One Wing and Sauron. They must never meet. Or last but not least, no, I've not fit into any clothes labeled skinny since 1985.
That would be me.
That would be me.
I'm going to have to go no skinny jeans bears are like the One Ring and Sauron. They must never meet.
Shit. I'm actually in between both of those. I'm both of those.
Basically, you're still no.
Yeah, I'm still no.
Just what type of
just
no?
Like, because there are some bears that should never wear skinny jeans. Just never. I don't think all bears should never wear them, because there are some bears that might look good in a pair of skinny jeans. But yeah, I've also, well, not 1985, but
take the essence of what that
I
question
what you mean, but yeah,
bitch.
Basically, it's been forever since you could fit into skinny jeans.
Yeah, it's been quite
since something. The Reagan administration.
So yeah. I was 5 years old in 1985, so I think I was actually wearing Huskies. Uh-huh. And they were actually labeled Husky.
I remember those days.
I hated those days.
I didn't. I guess the best way to put it, I didn't fatten up or get bigger until middle school. So that was the 90s for me.
I think in sixth grade, I was actually a little chubby, but then I like slimmed up until about college. And then I found out I was a bear. And then all of a sudden it's like some bear was losing weight and I started gaining it. And I mean, it was the conservation of fatness. I swear to God, there's got to be this conservation of weight inside the bear community. If one bear is losing weight, another bear is gaining weight.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, no matter what, the bears always weigh the same amount. So anyways, that's beside the point, I suppose. So we still have 8 responses and they all agree with us. Both of them, or all 8 of them said no. 5 of them said skinny jeans and bears are like the One Ring and Sauron, they must never meet. And 3 said they have not fit into any clothes labeled skinny since 1985. So, no other answers.
In addition to that, on bearunderground.net, plug, a gentleman with a profile name BLKMSCLE Philly, Black Muscle Philly, he actually commented and said, "No man needs to be wearing skinny jeans, straight or gay. I fucking hate them on guys. When I see a big boy wearing them, Jesus, don't get me started."
Also over in the Bruiser Aftermath on Facebook, Jay Clark said, "No, I don't feel comfortable at all in skinny jeans. I much prefer the loose fitting ones." So, basically, yeah. On that. So, yeah.
And the reason I say sometimes there are some guys that are okay with skinny jeans is because it's maybe that they're not necessarily skinny jeans. It's just that they're so tight. there are some nice kind of
tight. Well,
I think that's why they're called skinny jeans.
Yeah, but like there's some nice, hey, you know, bears and some, you know, I'm leaning more towards muscle bear, but there are still some, you know, stockier bears that can do it too. That just, it's just nice to see like a good thigh and bulge in a skinny jean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So anyway. Here comes the fun part. Last week's poll.
Oh yeah.
All right. Hold on a second here. I need to
find it. We had a lot of, I think we got a lot of responses, didn't we?
Yeah, we got 31 responses on the poll itself.
Ah.
We got 8 blacks, so we got 8 people who are sadistic bastards.
Yay.
We love you. yellow, so we had a bunch of piss players. Yeah, that was yellow, right? Yellow, yeah, yellow is pisses. Okay. I pulled up the thing to get a key because I'm not good at this. All right, so light blue. What was light blue?
Oral.
Light blue is oral. Okay, wants blowjob, sucks cock. Okay, good. There's 5 people. One person said red. That's Fisney. Maybe that was Alan. I don't know. we got, let me see. There's a multicolor. There was red with a black stripe, which is a furry bear or arctophile. Called himself a bear when he was 23. Anyways, That was one.
Hmm.
But there was 10 others.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of them were the same. In fact, I'm going to see if I can. Should I? No. We're going to add navy blue as an answer, actually.
Ah. Okay.
Because we had two people say navy blue. Actually, three people said navy blue. We had one person at a let me see if I can figure this one out. So we got a light. We got one guy who did light blue. So that's the blowjob.
Yeah.
And then on the left side, he has magenta and beige. So
magenta. It's probably more of a pink.
Magenta is no, it's under purple.
Suck my pits.
Suck my pits. So he's a pick sucker. Or no, left. So he likes his pit sucked.
Yeah.
And beige. He likes to rim.
Ah.
And he has brown satin.
Okay.
Cut. Or he is cut.
Huh.
It's just he is cut.
I've never heard of brown satin before.
Yeah. But if it's brown lace, they're uncut. Or lights uncut. all right, where were we? So there was an apricot on. I think for some reason Eric must have derailed the show
a little bit.
Fucker! I can't believe you post that shit.
Apricot is if it's on
apricot
the left,
is
you're,
tippy chaser.
Yeah, tubby or chaser, our chaser.
Yeah, in this case, he's a chaser because he commented that.
On the right.
White.
If you're chubby, do we really need to wear apricot to show we're chubby?
No.
Well, we also have an apricot on white and one that just says apricot. So I think we have a chubby chaser and a chub. By the way, you guys, the two of you who posted, maybe you should email us. We'll try to connect you together. how about white? Somebody else is looking, so I don't have to.
I'm kind of.
Hand job.
Ah.
I was going to say coxswain for left.
Yes.
No one would get it.
Sorry, what?
White. Once the hands out, strokes. Yeah, gotcha. Go ahead. Right.
Did we say what the navy blue one was?
Oh, hold on.
Navy blue is fucker.
Yeah.
So I like it. You
know, fucker or fucky?
Fucker or fucky. You know, left.
Fucker on the left, fucky on the right.
Right. Unfortunately, I didn't say a side. We got somebody who said charcoal.
Oh, wow. Hold on.
Charcoal. Charcoal.
Latex top, latex bottom.
Gotcha. Okay. We've got someone who says black, gray.
Which is S&M top. Bondage top. Our bottom.
Yellow.
Yellow is piss.
Tan.
Tan is cigar smoke. Ooh. Sorry. Cigar smoker like cigars.
Navy blue.
Uh-huh.
And houndstooth.
That's a pattern print.
Yeah. Houndstooth is
black and white.
Uses teeth. Likes to be bitten, but is all on the left.
Ah, interesting.
So, was that chess? Anyways,
wait, what? what does houndstooth represent?
Uses teeth.
Or likes to be bitten on the right. This guy's all on the left. He's a sadistic bastard, so I thought it was chess, but I could be wrong. Love you, Chess.
Chess, call me.
I don't know who did it, so I don't even know if it was him.
It doesn't matter. Chess should call me. That's all.
Fuchsia.
Fuchsia is... Oh, I know that one before.
Okay.
Spanker.
All right.
Spanker or Spanky.
Chess.
It might be chess. If some of these things are coming, yeah. These are sounding more and more like chess, but
it's like each one of these are all chess. Anyways, so that is last week's poll of the week.
And we had several like comments and stuff on the Bruiser Aftermath, and I posted it on Bears group. So I mean it's a lot of just, you know, people saying multiples, you know. But there is one for Orange. Orange is one. It's funny. I learned what it meant because I got the hanky in a raffle basket and I don't use it because orange basically is anything, anytime, anywhere, or, you know, nothing right now. I love how it says anything or nothing. And the guy says, thus making the orange hanky completely useless. So it's an acquired taste. It basically, orange means, supposedly means you will do anything. You'll either do anything or you'll have anything done to you. And to me, that's just a big old no. Because you don't, if you look through this list, there are a lot of things on here that if you're okay with doing, okay, by all means, you know, but there's some stuff on here that I like.
Cacao.
Yeah.
All right. If you see Portland, cacao.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a, over in the Bruiser Aftermath, we had comments on the poll. John Arndt said the orange left.
Ah,
so speaking of orange,
yeah.
Jay Clark thought the code was dead, but he'll take navy blue in the left. Jeffrey Land said black and yellow right primarily. Buzz says I see a bouquet. I understand why Scruff and Growler are popular. Who could remember all that?
Yeah. I like the no need to remember everything, just the ones that are important to you.
Yeah, and, Buzz says his in a single day would be cocksucker looking for bear orgy.
Nice.
He reviewed the chart and he said light blue right, apricot right, brown lace right, red and with black stripe right, leopard right. What's leopard? Who's
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Hey, girl. Brown, hey.
Brown lace is uncut.
Mm-hmm.
Leopard. Which I saw has tattoos. Our art critic.
Okay. And white with multicolored dots. Right.
Hold on.
White.
White with multicolored dots.
Dots.
Right. Looking for an orgy.
Oh, thanks. See. There you go. Gordon Reese said brown left, yellow left and right, blue left, light blue left and right, black left, and gray left.
Wow.
Let's see. Gordon, I'm remembering a cartoon, something about the Eye of Sauron. Yep, good old brown. And I'm the kinkiest guy in the room contest stopper nearly every time.
Nice.
Jeffrey Land just spit. And Bob Felter says, when I was younger, a buddy of mine and I wore aluminum foil and plastic wrap in our back pockets when we went to the Axl Rock, which is now called Rebar. So
okay, hold on.
Aluminum foil and plastic wrap.
That's interesting.
Aluminum. Kinky with protection?
I would have assumed bake sale, but that's me.
Oh, no.
Plastic wrap is mummifier.
Okay.
Aluminum. Foil. I'm not finding aluminum.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell aluminum foil would have been.
Space aliens.
Maybe you have to look up a different chart here.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Damon. What's
I don't remember.
What's aluminum foil used for in other BDSM communities?
The only thing I could see is that there's one here for Metallics that says silver, which is electrician and multimeter. Insert your own Shock the Monkey joke here.
That was the only one that popped in my head.
Okay, aluminum foil is electrical stimulation.
Yeah, so it's electroplay.
Ah. Kinky.
So, such a
for the record, though, I still prefer position. Baked goods.
I agree. That could be your food play. You put a brownie in your pocket.
Okay. Anyways, well, I'm sure there's a feeder in here. I'm sure.
Yeah, I would not put a brownie in my pocket on the hanky-go thing.
And I had a. Yeah. On the Bears, I posted it on the Bears Google Plus group, and I had Chuck Fisher say, some can't make up their mind. Maybe just an orange hanky, anything, anytime, anywhere, anyone, smiley face. And then Kenneth O'Connor said, red, yellow, black, blue, right. Cool.
Who said Bible in left pocket?
I don't even want to know. Good God. Okay.
Wait, what? I don't know about that one. I can't even find that one list.
It's not a real one, sorry.
I don't know. I think there should be.
I would guess like
missionary
Mormon
style
boys.
With real missionaries. Yes.
Okay, so Mormon, basically Mormon boys. Bible left pocket is the one. So I almost think we should put up another poll of the week. What does Bible left pocket mean? Actually, comment in the blog or our Facebook page or Google Plus page. So we can play with some context. So it just commented on the show. What's Bible left pocket? Okay. Leftover from last week's poll. Wow, going on 100 minutes here. Moving on into...
yay.
Love on.
Yes, love on checklist. Bringing the list of love and lust.
Let's pop over to... let's start with Eric here.
Okay. I have a lovely one out of Jersey Shore, New Jersey. It is... titled Philly Man for Man 38 Toms River. I'm looking for someone to give me a ride to Philly Sunday morning early. I'm going to a bathhouse for the day to relax. If you want to, join me. You can. Or you can just drop me off. I'm also willing to pay $10 for the ride. Hit me up. I have pics for trade, but I won't send face pics. Please have pics or you will be deleted.
Okay. Okay, what?
this guy's just looking for a ride to the bathhouse, right?
Yep. He wanted a ride to the bathhouse. He needs your picture before he will accept a ride. And he's willing to accept give you $10 for the ride.
Like, well, if you're going to have somebody give him a ride, at least they could look attractive.
You know what? I would send him a picture of a cab and a list of cab companies.
Yeah. What I like is it's also marked, it's not okay to contact this poster with services or other commercial interests. Well, he wants a taxi service.
Yeah, basically.
So basically, you can't respond to him.
I mean, is he... Good God. I mean... Like, dude.
This movie.
Like... Dude,
okay.
America has learned a lot of bad things about the Jersey Shore, and this does not change any of them.
No, I don't think so. I think we're trying to. I got one.
Yay.
Mainly because where did I get this one out of? I got this out of Minneapolis.
Go Minneapolis.
It's IDGAF. I got needs, YOLO. Man for woman. 21 year place. Okay. Sup, ladies. 21, agent, 5'9, 5'10 ish. Average body about 210. Well, engaged in for some reason, I've never felt like I've come out of pair pressure. It's kind of like I just fucking in waiting, wanting to hurry and come to get it. Ovit with wit. I need a badass girl to make me explode. I want to come in minutes, then have you suck me again till I get hard and let's fuck again. So, LMK, if you down, you host or we meet up somewhere. I'm looking for a thrill. You only live once, so why not? In subject, please put IDGAF. Also, a pic would be greatly appreciated along with some info. Thanks, ladies. So he starts off with the stupid abbreviation, acronym, whatever it's called, of I don't give a fuck. And he says YOLO, which is apparently a thing for you only live once, which makes no sense. I don't get it. I mean, yes, you only live once, but the context that people are using YOLO in nowadays makes no sense to me.
I thought YOLO had something to do with no homo.
No.
But I guess not.
It's like, I got sprinkles on my Sunday, YOLO. That's how they use it around here.
Son of a bitch. Shut the fuck up.
It literally.
What? YOLO that doesn't even make sense.
If it made sense, it would be sprinkles. A meme.
Hey, I have to have it. I only live once.
Like I said, shut the fuck
YOLO.
Up.
I know. No. Okay, I think I'd be the youngest one here at 32.
Yeah, you're like a year younger than me.
And I'm already jaded.
It's like kids these days, them and their stupid YOLO.
The thing that got me on this was the I don't give a fuck acronym and the YOLO. So.
Which is funny, yeah, because he's trying to give a fuck.
Yeah.
Or actually, he's trying to get a fuck. or maybe it does mean I do give a fuck.
Don't overanalyze it. It makes your head hurt.
Anyway, so. And of course, he's got pear pressure.
Pear.
He's not getting peer pressure. He's getting pear pressure. P-E-A-R. Or, oh, excuse me. Out of pear pleasure.
I guess he was trying to say pure pleasure. Whatever. Anyway.
Just so you guys can see it.
God. Good God.
Yeah, sure. It's spelling nightmares and ovit. Wit.
Ew. Ew.
What?
So does he mean shitty when he says badass?
Hmm?
I don't know.
So that's mine. I'm trying to
hear. Okay.
But out of Minneapolis, so there are some crazy motherfuckers up there too. So I'm in Minneapolis. Congratulations to the gay marriage, but do you still have some crazy motherfuckers up there?
So I decided to go to Hawaii for my. And
what the hell for?
I don't know. I just thought it would be funny. I thought I would find something stupid, and good Lord, did I. This is Bear Seeks Bull, or Seeks Bull, R, Cub Come, with a K, Queen Kapi'olani Hotel. Now, he posted this at 3:23 a.m. in Hawaii. So just so you know, now till 0700 hours, come feed this bear. This bear, I suck, you come, I swallow, you go. Get in, get off, get out.
Get
if I no reply, I STE busy, because I have no idea what STE is. So yeah, it's a simple ad and he's got these pictures of random like photos. It's mostly like anthropomorphic pictures of, you know, animals getting fucked. And then there's a couple of shots of like truckers and whatnot. And then 808 boys, which I still don't know what that is.
I think that means an area code.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
For Hawaii or something.
So it's just a stupid ad. And it's all in caps. And there's so many.
No, the hours isn't in caps.
Well, yeah, silly me. But and I guess you were trying to be fast and you wanted to get the ad out quickly, so you didn't put the I on N, and you didn't put another L and swallow, and you spelled come with a K, not once, not twice, but three times. So, you know, I guess you are busy, and I guess you only have 3.5 hours before 7 o'clock. So I hope you found something. Your ad's still up, so I'm assuming either you did or you didn't. Anyway. Dick.
Wow. That's exactly what he was looking for.
I just, yeah. Just ads like this piss me off because it's just like.
And Gary.
Go.
All right, so mine is I traveled to Maryland to check things out. It's titled Email Slave for the Few. M for M58, and the location is cyberspace. It says, wanted someone who will do ongoing emails. You will be the slave and I the master. I expect total obedience and respect. There will be many rules, tasks, questions, and more. Not for everyone. No repeats, please. I will be selecting one candidate who will be chosen Sunday night at 9 p.m. If you are interested, reply to Sir. You will be Boy, at least for now. In your first email, you are to be hard, as you write, and you must inform me of that fact. I only want someone who is able to engage in a long-term ongoing cyber fantasy. This is a lengthy and slow process. Is it possible we could actually meet? Not likely, but first, this sir must be in the subject line. If okay by you, I would prefer real email addresses, not mandatory. But if you send me yours, I will reply using mine.
Okay.
Go ahead, David.
So, you want a slave, but you want a slave through email?
David's brain is breaking.
That hurts my head.
We've heard of lazy tops on here, but now we've met lazy doms.
I know, right? Like, I mean,
flog yourself, slave, and send me the pictures.
Yeah,
pick me up when you're done.
That's just no. Okay, no.
I will say this. I am open to everyone having their own happiness in their own life, as long as it really doesn't do harm to another individual. This meets those terms. However, I am a little confused.
I mean,
so
I guess if you're an English major and could really get into writing, you could really and could be imaginative and whatnot, you could kind of, you know, really get into this. You know, it's a challenge, you know. It's, my head hurts now.
I feel like we need to find some senior high school bullies and forward this email to them, and that they might have the right kind of rapport or really enjoy each other.
Oh, good God. Okay.
Yeah, it just, they really kind of cracked me up because, yeah, I was like, okay. 58-year-old wants a slave, but not necessarily to meet in real time, just like online only email.
Well, his mom won't let him have slaves over.
Oh, at 58? Well, speaking of Norman.
You never know.
Exactly. It's just, yeah. It's one of those, I don't get it. And I guess I can understand a long distance dom's, you know, sub or, you know, dom slave kind of thing. I can understand that. But at some point there needs to be, I would think there would need to be some kind of contact, but then again, I could be wrong, but over emails and that's all you're doing? I don't know. Okay, we need to move on because my head's gonna hurt. My head's already hurting.
And do we have a winner?
I think Gary won that one.
I think Gary won that because that just broke me. Although
nice, Eric.
Ah,
man.
With that, moving on into the links. Eric.
Where are we? Okay. My pick this week is a Tumblr site. It is a Tumblr site without pornography, so none of
Shocking. What are you talking about?
It is a site called Architecture of Doom. It is architectureofdoom.tumblr.com. And it is this amazing collection of photographs from different countries and different phases where really what it is it's looking at utopias that have been built and then abandoned by humanity. So it's all these different projects. They can be towers. There are ski lifts and sports arenas and things like that. There are building complexes and cemeteries that have all been abandoned now and are just being retaken by nature.
Nice.
And it's just some haunting, wonderful images.
I really like it. It's really kind of awesome.
That church, which seems to have sunk into the bottom of a lake.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
That's the one I really like.
Yeah, when I lived in Oklahoma in middle school in the late 80s, there was a similar – a whole town ended up being moved during the Dust Bowl because the winds came through and then the floods, and the floods flooded out the whole town and it became a lake. So everybody that survived had moved, and they literally moved just like a quarter of a mile to the right and rebuilt the town. And nice. You could see the steeples and some of the buildings when the lake got low.
Hmm.
So it's not like this is all that uncommon, but it's just a beautiful look at how the world reclaims what we toss aside.
Yeah.
It's just kind of that stuff that is just aged.
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Damon.
Okay. Mine is basically because of the Star Trek movie. This is a Star Trek Into Darkness. It's a parody. Best way to put it is it's a bunch of red shirts on a planet. And it's just, I liked it because it's funny. And also, there's some quite cute little, cubby bearish kind of guys in this, especially the, I believe, Captain Kirk character. Yes. Very nice. Very nice to look at. And it's funny, Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. That's all I got to say. Yeah, mine's quick, Quick and dirty. Hilarity ensues.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait,
next.
It'll be Gary.
Hang on.
Oh.
It wasn't quite ready. No, it's okay. because I almost forgot what I put in there. So, as some of you probably know from previous episodes, I am a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Me too.
And I recently found out that RuPaul Charles, actually, as a man, has been doing a bunch of interviews just about him and stuff in general. He did one with, I want to say, the New York Times or the New York Post. New York Times. And then he did this one recently, I guess, or I want to say earlier this year, with Joan Rivers, the comedian. She has a video podcast called In Bed with Joan. Nice. And they literally are in a bedroom sitting on a bed.
Nice.
Like, a made bed.
Well, yes, it's a made bet. It's Joan Rivers. Hello. So it's, I don't know. I found it very insightful and interesting. And the one thing I did not know, which came up in the other interview, but was also brought up in this, was he was asked the question about who he's sharing his life with. And he revealed that he's had a partner for 19 years.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Which I did not know. And apparently, either. Yeah. And In the video, you find out more. Rue talks more about that. The man is from Australia and owns a ranch, I want to say, in Montana.
Huh.
but it's a family, it's a family owned business. He was doing something prior to that. And I knew that Rue likes country, like country music and stuff like that. So I found it kind of interesting. So it's about a half an hour long. So if you have a little bit of time to hang and listen to it or watch it, I don't know. I kind of liked it. I found it very interesting. And I think the more you know and understand who a person is and their background, the better you get a feeling for them and why they do what they do. So, and I say that in relates to the show because the show is a competition and sometimes things are questioned on decisions that are made or the challenges that are created. And my feeling on it is like, well, if you go into it without any past knowledge of who your main host person that it's created around is, then that's your own fault.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll put it this way. Survivor is not like RuPaul's Drag Race because Jeff Probst, even though he's the host, did not create Survivor and is not the person that comes up with all the stuff. So it's a different kind of reality, real life competition show thing. Yeah. So anyways, so that's my pick.
Excellent. It looks interesting. I'm going to have to watch that later. And I actually ended up with two picks this week. One I was going to pick, and then all of a sudden I found this other thing, and I was like, I need to talk about it or mention it. So kind of continuing on from last week's, going back to a book that I haven't read recently, but I read it a long time ago when I originally read the Cobra books. I also read Timothy Zahn's book called Triplet. And it's about this researcher who goes to a world which is essentially three worlds. It's basically this one world which has three worlds in it, one called Threshold, one called Shamshir, and one called Karnks. And they are connected by these tunnels, these magical tunnels between the three worlds. And Threshold is a world of technology, event. Shamshir is a world where the technology is so advanced it looks like magic, so kind of like magical technology. And Karnks is about dark magic, like summoning demons and spirits. So it's an interesting book about this world, and really I think the big thing I like about it is more about this one world, which is three worlds storyline. And there is a little bit of a mystery and intrigue in the book too, so that you have to read. I haven't read it in a long time, but I really, really liked it. So I just recently purchased it from Kindle I could reread it. So in addition to reading all the Cobra books that I'm doing right now, I'm also going to be reading this reading Triplet again. It's a very interesting book, and I think anybody who really likes Timothy Zahn and sci-fi in general might really like this. It's interesting that when passing between the worlds, they have to get completely naked.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like only you, not your clothing, can or any of your belongings can go to the other side. So from my remember it, I haven't gotten back into the book yet, but while searching for using the term gay questions for a image for our poster, I found this video. Creek Road Presbyterian Church has this this is down in Brisbane, Australia, apparently has just a series of got questions. One of the pastors talks on it, and one of the talk for number four is the Bible anti-gay? And I didn't get through the whole thing, but it was a very interesting talk about how, from what I'm getting from, is like absolutely not.
Yeah.
And here is why, and he talks about things that were, he references the Bible left and right, so it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. I actually want to, that's one of the ones I want to actually take time and listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because and plus he has an awesome accent. So, well, because he's Australian. Anyway.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the show. Why don't you check that out? We're over 2 hours long. Okay, so pop over to cubsoutloud.com. Leave a comment in the blog. Shoot us an email, cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Google Plus, gplus.2/cubsoutloud. Bear Underground, join the group. Also, please pop over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review, or any star review, really. But leave a review, you know, type something. Also, we're on Stitcher Radio, so find us on there. Please give us a thumbs up. You listen to us.
Hey.
And you can find me as Box Tech, Box Puppy, Box Cub, wherever. I'm a box.
And you're a puppy. Or, no, you're not. Never mind. Or cub. <You're a> cub. I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground, our Tumblr.
You can reach me as GamerBear75 on Bear Underground, GamerBear most everywhere else, and under my name, Eric Patton, on Google Plus.
And I can pretty much be found as GearBear73 anywhere on the web. And I do have one final thing I want to say, not quite a shout out. While we were recording, apparently the newswire hit that Yahoo Board of Directors has approved a $1.1 billion purchase of Tumblr.
Whoa.
Wow, is somebody really that upset about Yahoo purchasing Tumblr? I mean, no, look at what they did with Flickr.
My keyboard and knocked over my video camera.
Now, this doesn't mean Tumblr's going to approve or agree to the price of the purchase. It just means that Yahoo has made the offer, or will be making the offer tomorrow, apparently.
Interesting.
Because Ben posted on Google Plus in a similar post and said, "There goes your porn on Tumblr."
Yep.
Oh, but of course he's always
he's never reactionary.
Dim in. He has a dim look at things.
Yeah. Nice. So.
Yeah, always like keeping that positivity up there, Ben. Ben, so, one of the most positive people in all the world.
Okay. All righty.
He'll be back. And he'll be back in just a couple of weeks.
Yay.
Just to let you go. Is it that time? No?
I think we've got it.
Okay. Take it on, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.